But what is light? Now, I guess I'll tell you the story behind this. I'm actually talking to Nicole a little bit earlier this week about what I intended this message to look like. And she's asked me, so what exactly is light anyway? Okay? And so I explained it to her. And then she says, why don't you teach these guys that lesson? A kind of science lesson. And I'm like, Nicole, just so you know, I had some of these guys in science class years and years ago, and they weren't interested in listening to the science lessons then, and I'm pretty sure that they won't be interested in the science lessons today. And so some of you guys know exactly who you are. And so, as I usually do with Nicole early on, I was just like shaking my head and be like, I'm going to brush off that suggestion. I'm not sure exactly why I do that, because after I thought about it for a little while, I'm like, you know, actually, that is not a bad idea. I can actually use that. And so I'm going to give you guys actually a quick science lesson. All right? And for those that had me in science before, sorry, guys, but you're going to have to repeat physical science once again. And so light, guys, is the part of the electromagnetic spectrum. Does that work better? Oh, gosh. Thank you, Nicole. Okay. So the part of the electromagnetic spectrum that we actually our eyes can detect. So the electromagnetic spectrum has these energy that travels in like waves, and different waves, different frequencies, different wavelengths. And there's all sorts of EMFs. And Nicole always gives lectures on EMFs as well. But in case there's like radio waves. You've heard of that? Microwaves. X-rays, those are all part of the same exact spectrum, okay? It's like there's this whole other world that we can't see. That's probably a really good thing, because just so you know, cell phones travel by microwave these days, and so if we were to look outside, we could see all of that stuff bouncing around, the radio waves and all the cell phone, all the microwaves going around, we'd be like constantly in a state of confusion, okay? But there's only one part of that electromagnetic spectrum that we can see, and that is the visible light. And so it is with God. I can't see Him, but I can experience Him. And I've had this question asked before. I don't know if you guys have ever had that before, but you get those that are giving you a hard time about God. It's like, you know, how can you believe in God? A God that you cannot even see? How do you know that He exists? And guys, that's one of the things that I use, is like this electromagnetic spectrum. And so I ask people, well, do you believe in radio waves? Guys, you believe in radio waves? Microwaves? You ever seen one? How do you know they exist? Well, I can see the effects that they have, right? And so how do we know so much about things like radio waves and microwaves and X-rays? The reason we know so much about those is because of the light that we actually can see. And all of those waves behave in the same way. And so we study the light and we extrapolate that onto the things that we can't see, like radio waves and the rest of that. Okay? Let's actually read John 1:18, because I'm going to use that light thing as we go forward a little bit. Okay? So hang on to that, the part that we can see, that represents the parts that we can't see. Okay? So John 1:18.
No one has ever seen God, but the unique one, who is himself God, is near to the Father's heart. He has revealed God to us.
And so Jesus comes as a visible representation of the invisible God that we can't see. And so how do we know so much about God? From Jesus, the part that we could see. Let's go ahead and read Matthew now 1, verse 23.
Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son. They will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us.
So they called him Emmanuel, God with us. And the invisible God became visible in Jesus Christ. Let's go next to 2 Corinthians 4:6. So Jesus is indeed the light of the world, and through him we've been allowed to see the glory of God. Now John 1:5.
Light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish
And so we're told that darkness can never extinguish the light. But how is that possible, guys? They crucified him. He went back to be with the Father. We can't see Jesus any longer. It seems like his light was extinguished. But that's not true. Let's read Matthew 5:14.
You are the light of the world, like a city on a hilltop that cannot be hidden.
Because Jesus passed the torch on, the light remains in the world because he passed that torch on to us. Guys, just so you know, Jesus says, now you are the light of the world. And our job is to reflect the glory of God and become lights to the world. Next, let's read 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9.
You are not like that. You are a chosen people. You are a royal priest, a holy nation, God's very own possession. As a result, you can show others the goodness of God, for he called you out of darkness into his wonderful light.
And so Peter says, guys, just so you know, you're special. You're God's chosen people. You are God's ministers. He called you out of the darkness, and he made you his very own. And for you, Christmas has a special calling. You've been called to show people the goodness of God. Did you know that? Let's read Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8.
Once you were full of darkness, but now you have light in the world. So live as people of light.
Paul says, you have the light of the Lord. Now live as people of the light. Back to Isaiah next, chapter 58, verse 10.
Feed the hungry and help those in trouble. Then your light will shine out from the darkness, and the darkness around you will be as bright as noon.
Isaiah says, your light shines when you start to look outside of yourself and your own needs and start to now see the needs of others. Now, here's the question, because as children of the light, we should be a light in the darkness, like, all the time. But that's not always the case. And it's not the case for me, but I try to be more cognizant of it. And I'll tell you one of the glaring things that happened to me. This was back when I was still in my days at Fenton, okay? And this was Monday morning, and I was a bit, I wasn't my happy self. It was 7 a.m., okay? And I was checking into work. I was going to be missing the next day. And so one of the things that you have to do when you're going to be gone as a teacher is you turn in your lesson plans to a registrar who actually, her name was Jenny, and Jenny would get you a sub for the next day, but you had to give her a lesson so that, you know, and then she would pass that on. And so I was checking in. I was giving my lessons plans for the next day, and I ran into one of our subs, and her name was Pam. Okay, actually worked with Pam in the science office, but when she got married, okay, she actually moved, and so she kind of quit her job to be a mom and a wife, but she was close enough to actually being able to secure her pension that she only had a few more days to put in. And so what she decided to do is certain times during the year, she would come back and she'd live with one of her girlfriends, okay, and subbed a lot. And everybody liked her, okay? And so Pam was leaving, and I knew Pam. I said hi to Pam, and she was Pam. I mean, she was smiling and she was happy, and I was like kind of grumpy because at 7 a.m. on a Monday morning, that's who I am, okay? And so, I'm handing in my lesson plans to Jenny, and Jenny says, oh, I just love Pam. She is always so happy, and she always asks about, you know, what's going on in my life, and she just really seems to truly care. She goes, you know what? I heard that when she was up in Wisconsin, she found some kind of religion. Well, Pam had become a Christian, and I knew that. Okay, the bad thing was that Jenny knew that I was a Christian, because when I said, yeah, you know what, Pam became a Christian. Jenny looked back at me and she kind of shake her head, she said, no, I don't think that's it. And I'm like, and it didn't hit me right away, because I'm one of the ones that she knows is a Christian. And she looks at Pam, who's all happy and everything, and she looks at me and says, no, she can't be, that's not it. And now as I'm walking down the hallway to my first class, I was, you know, get ready for the day, I'm thinking, I wonder what Jenny says about me. You know what I'm saying? And it changed me from that point on. I was like, you know what? I'm not being a very good representation of what the light is supposed to look like. Because she sees somebody that really is filled with the joy of the Lord and doesn't look anything like me. She says, okay, you're a Christian. That can't be what's going on with her. I was really taken aback by that, as I was not really doing what I was supposed to be doing. So the question we ask ourselves is, this Christmas season particularly, am I living as a child of the light? Am I showing others the love of God? Am I actually allowing the fruits of the Spirit to be revealed through me? And guys, I tell you, I do a terrible job at that a lot of the time, but I'm trying to be more and more mindful of that. Especially this Christmas season, there's a lot of family and a lot of people I see that don't make me very happy. We'll put it like that, okay? And yet I try really hard to be a light, you know, and show an interest in their lives and show them the joy of the Lord. And that's not always easy, okay? Unfortunately, and this is where I want to address this, I'm very, very fortunate because Nicole kind of pointed it out. You know, sometimes you look ahead to a message or whatever, you pray about it, and then it's all of a sudden God speaks to you. And very often that's through somebody else, you know what I'm saying? It doesn't have to be this voice that comes out of like nowhere, you know what I'm saying? And in this particular case, it was Nicole, and she's like, you know what, you need to take a close look at your congregation because there are many of them that this is a very hard time for them to be joyful. It's a very hard time for them to allow their light to shine. And I'm like, wow, I wanted to make this all about joy and all about some of that. And it's like, but there are those that are out there that are hurting it at this season. Okay, a lot of people, this is a time for them to reflect back on the last year and see some of the things that they've lost or some of the things that are now missing. Okay, so the question is, I want to be a light to the world, but what if right now, in the place where my life is right now, I feel like my light is pretty dim, and what do I do with that? What if my life is a mess right now? What if I'm really battling some serious health issues? What if I'm still grieving some very, very serious losses in my life? Or I'm just stuck in that depression. You know, very often it feels like I'm just drowning and my light is going out. So, to those, let me just begin by saying, guys, your light will never go out. Because the light doesn't come from you. Okay? The light comes from God. It was God who said, let there be light, and there was light. And the darkness may try to extinguish it, and it very often does. But guess what? It can't. Okay? That's the promise that we receive. So let me just look, and invite you guys to look at one of the ways that darkness tries to extinguish our light. Okay? It's a very common one, and one that we fall into. It's one that the enemy, Satan, has used from the very, very beginning. Okay, so let's go back to the Garden of Eden, which most of you guys are very familiar with. And so Adam and Eve live in a place that's just rich in God's blessings. Every place that they look, there are God's blessings, except one place. There's one thing that they cannot have that's forbidden in their lives, that's missing, so to speak. Okay, and the serpent does what? Calls their attention to that one thing. Okay? And because they're distracted by that one thing, the enemy is able to steal their joy. And the contentment that they were experiencing only a short time before that now is missing. And they're like, wow, you're right. My life is a mess here because there's something that is missing. There's something that I can't have. Let me share an example of what I'm kind of talking about, one that is really, really close to home, okay? My mother was a very, very godly woman, one that the Lord called home a couple of years ago. She had tremendous virtues and very inspirational faith and a prayer life that was out of this world, the things that I envied about her. But there was one trap that she fell into on a regular basis. She was easily distracted, and she allowed Satan to rob her of her joy on a regular basis, usually around the holidays. See, because one of the things that had happened is my youngest sister, who was always kind of the favorite, okay, I don't know what the season is. It's usually the oldest or the youngest. The middle ones kind of get lost in the shovel. But Wiles ends up trying to be the favorite. And my youngest sister was the favorite. And she moved to California. And because she was in California, she would come back at either Thanksgiving or at Christmas. But rarely would she ever be able to come back both times. And you don't really expect that. And it would never fail. When my sister Sue was not home for that holiday, we would go there and we'd make the drive, you know, from Chicagoland out to the middle of Iowa, you know, like 5-hour drive. And we would get there and my mom would be in a depression. And she'd be like, oh, you know, I miss Sue so much. I just wish she was here. And she would be crying and she would, and I'd be like, seriously, Mom? But I'm here. My family's here. Dave's here. Judy's here. And sometimes that would snap her out of it. And sometimes it wouldn't. And the times where she wouldn't snap out of it, it became like this really, really gloomy holiday where my mom was just super sad. You know what I'm talking about? She gets caught up in that. And I'm not immune from it. None of us are immune from that kind of thing. I just tell you, Jason, and so this just happened this last week, and I'm glad that, once again, my wife was there to call me out on it. It was a little bit before Thanksgiving, okay? And I was looking at the family picture because I lost my sister. She went to be with the Lord back in June. And this was going to be Thanksgiving. My whole family was coming by my house, and it was a little bit stressful, but everybody was going to be there, okay? And I'm looking at this picture that I keep on the refrigerator, a family picture. And all of a sudden, I start looking at the people that aren't in the picture any longer. I'm looking at my mom, and I'm looking at my older of the two sisters, okay? And I'm starting to get down. And Nicole called me out, and she said, don't you dare go there. And she basically says, I want you to take another look at that picture. She goes, I want you to start looking at the people that are there, the ones that are still in the picture. She says, you know, your dad's still in that picture. He is. So your brother and your other sister, they're in that picture. And you know what? They brought others into the picture. And your boys are still in that picture. And they brought you two new daughters that are in the picture, and a granddaughter. And Cora's in that picture. Oh yeah, she said. And what about me? Still in the picture as well. She said, the truth is, there's not two empty chairs at your table. Your table is more full now than it has ever been in your entire life. Do you know that? I'm like, wow. She threatened me. She says, don't even go there. I'm not going to let you go there. And I had to take another look at the picture. Okay? And she was right. My table was full this Thanksgiving. And I added on to it. And I got more chairs. And it was still full. But I wanted to be distracted by the empty chairs. In case I'm guessing it's the same way with many of you. And it doesn't have to necessarily be people, okay? But very often we take a look at the picture of our life at any given moment. And it's a snapshot. It's a picture of your life at that particular moment. And we look at the picture and we see the things that aren't there. Okay? Sometimes it's people. Sometimes it's things, it's possessions, or sometimes it's the things that we used to be able to do that we can't do. There's a number of ways that you can look at the picture of your life. And what happens is, if you start to stare at those things that are missing, you start to come to this conclusion that, well, everything in my life is a mess. but it's not. In case there is none of you, I guarantee that your whole entire life is a mess. This is the time where you have to actually kind of go back and take a new, fresh look at the picture of your life and start to see the things that actually are there. Because that focus on what's missing, that's one of those ploys of the enemy. And if that's not enough to snap you out of your funk, I want you to take a look at the one thing that you can't see that's in your life. Do you know what that is? God. Okay? The one that promises to never leave you and to never forsake you. God will always be in your picture. In fact, let's read that in Hebrews 13:5. See, if you only focus on the things that you can see, there will definitely be times where the enemy is able to distract you and rob you of your joy. So I'm going to ask you to kind of think about this for just a second, and we'll actually kind of reflect on this when we get into communion in a short period of time. But let me ask you this question. Would you rather have the blessings of God or the God of blessings? Can we say it again? Okay. Would you rather have the blessings of God or the God of blessings? Because if you have the God of blessings, you will ultimately receive the blessings. Okay. But if you only have the blessings, one day those will fade away. Very good. Now, as we move into our time of communion, okay, just, I'm going to set you up with this because usually we end with communion, and I don't want to set you up for, okay, we got an early out today. Pastor Rod's finishing early, and so we can start packing up our stuff. We have actually something that comes after communion. That's one of the favorite things that, for us that we do here, okay? But as we move into this time of communion, okay, I'm going to leave you with one last revelation. This one is actually from my daughter, Cora. One that she shared with me. It's really kind of interesting. I am very thankful that I have a daughter that attends Moody Bible Institute because she has grown so much there, and I'm able to have some deep spiritual conversations with her. And this one was one that was very, very refreshing. Okay? And one that I promised her I would share with all of you and give her credit for. She said, and I quote, "Your light may be dim right now, but there are those that are out there that have no light." And she said, "And God can fan your flame, but only if you have a flame to fan." Isn't that cool? That's my daughter, man. Are you excited? Okay. And so, guys, I wanted you to kind of reflect on those things. Okay? Reflect on the picture of your life right now. And see if you can look away from the things that are missing, the things that are absent, the things that you're longing for that you don't have, and start to focus on the rest of the picture, the things that you do have, the blessings that God has given to you, okay? And then we'll take communion together, and that won't be the end, so I don't want you to start packing up, because we're going to do something else really cool after that, okay? So let's take a minute to reflect first, and then we'll do communion together.